The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today is going to be a Mother's Day episode, which is dedicated to my mom and to her mom, my grandma, otherwise known as Popo. Today's reading is from Seneca's Consolation to Helvia, and the background of this piece is, I'm going to read from this Moses Hadass edition. He says, in 41 BC, at the beginning of Claudius's reign, Seneca was condemned on a charge of adultery with Julia Livilla, a sister of Caligula and Agrippina, and sentenced to exile in Corsica. He wrote this piece to his mother, probably in the second year of his seven-year banishment. So basically, he was exiled, and his mother was grieving because he was exiled for 7 years, and he wrote to her to console her. So this is a long piece. I have made episodes about parts of this in the past, but I'm going to read a particular part now, which is dedicated to my mom. Seneca writes, oh, and actually, before I read this, I want to clarify what the term liberal studies means. And, you know, we talk about liberal arts in Western society. And I feel like there's like this connotation that liberal arts is like useless artsy majors that don't actually get you a career. The real idea of liberal arts is that they are arts which liberate you, which make you into an independent thinker able to operate in any area. So liberal arts has to do with training you to be an independent thinker. That's the basic idea. Okay, so here's the excerpt. And again, he's writing to his mom. And so I would lead you to the sure refuge of all who fly from fortune to liberal studies. They will heal your wound. They will eradicate your sadness. Even if you had never been conversant with them, it would be useful to apply yourself to them now. But you have some acquaintance with all the liberal arts, though the old-fashioned strictness of my father did not allow you to master them. I could wish that my father, excellent man that he was, had not been so set on following the practice of his elders and had allowed you to acquire a thorough grounding in philosophic doctrine instead of only a smattering. Then you would not now have to shape your campaign against fortune, but merely to set it on foot. His reason for not indulging you in deeper study was that some women do not use literature for philosophic ends, but trim themselves with it for luxury's sake. But thanks to your acquisitive intellect, you imbibed a great deal for the time you spent. The foundations for the various disciplines have been laid. Return to them now. They will keep you safe. They will console you. They will cheer you. If they truly enter your mind, If they truly enter your mind, then nevermore will grief find entry or anxiety or the idle distress of futile affliction. To none of these will your heart be open. To other weaknesses, it has, of course, long been shut. These studies are the surest safeguards, the only deliverance from the power of fortune. So right now, my mom is visiting Popo, and Popo is 97 years old, going to be 98 in October. And obviously, as I just said, Popo has lived a very long life, and she has been in an assisted living facility for a number of years, and is now getting to the point. Well, she's been suffering from dementia for the last couple of years, which has gotten progressively worse. And she's at the point where, not because of the dementia, but because she has been falling a lot, that she is going to need to find a new living facility, which my mom, that's why my mom is there helping her find that. And needless to say, this has been very, very difficult for my mom, watching Popo go through what she's going through, and also just the practicality of trying to find a place that's good for Popo and will care for her and will be good for her and is within her budget. So it's been very, very hard on my mom. But one of the things that I have admired my mom for lately is I think the constant refrain that my mom has said lately is, thank God for Rabbi Moskowitz, thank God for reality. So the background, Rabbi Moskowitz, as I've mentioned many times, Rabbi Moskowitz is my Rebbe and was the one who introduced me to the world of ideas, and particularly to the world of Mishle. And for several years in high school and a few years after that, then my mom and my dad and my brother and I all learned Mishle with Rabbi Moskowitz on his Sunday class at his house. And that's where my mom was first exposed to the idea of reality with a capital R, and the idea of rationality, The idea of making decisions based on rationality and not based on your emotions. The idea that reality doesn't change just because you want it to. The idea that you have to be selfish, or as my mom said, quoting Rabbi Moskowitz in a conversation with her, self-ish, that you have to care for yourself and that that's not a bad thing. And even though my mom only learned with Rabbi Moskowitz for a couple of years, then she gained a tremendous amount from that. And that really has helped her through many of the difficulties that she has faced in the last number of years, and most recently with Popo. And I, you know, my mom is in her early 70s, and you know, I'm thankful that I met Rabbi Moskowitz in my teenage years and continued to learn from him for many years after that. But my mom met Rabbi Moskowitz, you know, at a much, much older age, and yet she was able to gain from that, and that the ideas that she gained from Rabbi Moskowitz and from the Torah that he taught fortified her against fortune in a way that allowed her to cope with whatever was happening with her. And not to say that my mom has, you know, been impervious and immune to the sways of fortune and to these unpredictable things that she can't control. But my mom has really used the tools that Rabbi Moskowitz has given her and shown her from Torah that have really helped her. And I really, really admire her for that. And not only that, but I think part of this is because my mom's mom is Popo. Now, I'm not going to go into the details here, but Popo has lived a life of with horrendous tragedies, and that's similar. That's a similar situation with Seneca's mom, and he talks about how many people in her life that she has lost of her kids, and I think some of her siblings. I don't really remember. And, you know, he mentions a point which is going to sound a little sexist nowadays, but remember, this is in ancient Rome. So he says to his mom, he says, "To give way to endless grief when you have lost a dear one is foolish indulgence. To show none is flinty hardness. The best compromise between affection and reason is to feel regret and suppress it." Now, again, it's difficult for me to know what is an accurate translation here, because we are dealing with a translation, but that line does remind me of the halacha in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avel, in the Laws of Mourning, when he's talking about how a person should mourn and should not mourn. Oop, hold on just a second here. Let me just get this up. I should have gotten this up ahead of time. So he says, just one second, hold on. Yeah, so he says, "All this is the Rambam in the Laws of Mourning, 13:11. All yiskasha adam al meso yeser midai. A person should not literally yiskasha, be harsh on himself over the dead, over his dead in excess. Shnemar, as it says, al tifku lemes val tanudulo. Do not cry for the dead and do not tanudulo." Not sure how to translate that. Klomar, meaning to say yes or me die, meaning excessively. Obviously, you can mourn for the dead and you can cry, but not excessively. He's saying, Shezehu min hagosha olam. This is the way of the world. V'hametza'ar atma al min haga olam harzeh tibesh. Someone who afflicts himself over the way of the world is a fool. Ella ketzad yase, rather, what should he do? Shlosha lebechi, 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped, 7 days for eulogy. Shloshim yom letisporos ulishar hakamisha, 30 days for refraining from cutting your hair, and the other 5 practices of mourning. Then he says, kol mi shalomis abel kmo shetzivu chachamim, anyone who does not mourn in the manner that was commanded by the sages, harzeh achzari, this person is cruel. Ella, rather, yifkad v'yedag v'fashvish b'masav, rather, he should fear and worry and analyze his own actions, v'yachzor b'teshuva, and return in teshuva. And if someone in your social circle dies, then the entire social circle should worry. Okay, so back to Seneca. He says, Seneca said the best compromise between affection and reason is to feel regret and suppress it. Suppress it, again, I'm not sure if that's the right term here, but I think what he means is that you shouldn't indulge in the excess. You should have the moderate, realistic degree of mourning. Okay, so then Seneca goes on. He says, there is no reason for you to pattern yourself after certain women whose sorrow, once assumed, ended only with their death. You know some who put mourning on when they lost their sons and never took it off again. Life demands more of you because you were more steadfast from the beginning. The excuse of sex cannot apply when there is no trace of womanish weakness. And again, without going into the details of the tragedies that Popo suffered, Popo did suffer tragedies, which, in her place, someone in her place could have ended her own life. And Popo did once talk to us about the fact that she was tempted to do that. And she remained steadfast and said, I have to keep on living. And she went on and she flourished and she became the Popo that we all know and love. And I think the fact that Popo was like that has given strength to my mom. And the fact that my mom has gained strength like that has given strength to me. And I am very grateful that I have both of them as an example. And obviously I'm grateful also about the way that my mom raised me and supported me and continues to support me in all ways. And you know, that undoubtedly comes from the fact that Popo was such a great mother to her. So, mommy, I love you and I love Popo, and I wish both of you a happy Mother's Day. And that is all for today's episode. If you have gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.